This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
There's a research, that says more and more people are, expressing dissatisfaction with democracy. Mm-hmm. And in South Africa, for the first time in over 25 years, more citizens, say they would accept military rule than oppose it. Now, the question becomes, would this work in reality? And in a country that has already tasted the freedom that South Africans have already tasted, maybe we should explore this.
Be talking to a political analyst and lecturer as we explore this. Lieto Briga is on the line to join us to talk to us. Good morning. Welcome. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, guys. Good morning to the listeners. I'm great. And how are you guys doing?
No, we're good. Thank you for joining us. So, from what you are understanding and what you are experiencing, as a citizen of this country, are we really disappointed? I mean, disappointed or dissatisfied with democracy itself? Or is it a case of how we are experiencing democracy, how it's being rolled out at the moment with all the challenges? What do you think it really is?
Well, to begin with, right, South Africans haven't even started to taste democracy. These are the beginnings of what a democracy could be, right? We haven't even thought about the many ways in which our democracy could go, and already people are starting to fret and think about hard man leaders, right? And I think that's the second part, is that in South Africa, we do really fetishize a hard man leader, right? Even on simple occasions, political leaders from other parties, when there's a huge problem in the country, instead of coming with a counter solution like in any other democracy where an opposition person will come up and say, well, in New York, I want to be mayor and here's the solution. The solution doesn't have to be national. Here's my local solution for this local problem, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, they say, where's Cyril Ramaphosa? He's gone to France. He's gone to the G20. What about us? That's a political leader, not you, me, and the normal person who's staying at home. And so in thinking about that, it means that, yes, there is a place where South Africans have a fondness for hardman leaders, whether or not it's democratically elected hardman leaders, right? We've often heard our parents even say it, like to say, well, you can't find a job, my child. Runa in apartheid used to be better for all of us. So let's just go back. Because there is that fetishization of hardman leaders, and it's very hard to get rid of them. And so that's the biggest problem.
I hear with what you're saying, and when you're saying we are yet to really taste what democracy would look like. Well, if someone would say 30, 31 years, that timeline, maybe people are disgruntled looking at what could have been achieved, what could have been set in place, what could have been put at a foundational level, to try to build this democracy. 30 years, don't you think, as a start, that's something to work with or not?
It is a start. And here's a criticism, right? A democracy, unlike an autocracy, here's the thing about the hardman leader, right? Everybody's all happy when Ibrahim Traore is building roads and giving out free money and having the salaries of ministers, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do to a hardman leader on the day he spends your money the way you don't like? Or what do you do when a General Mkhwanazi in a hardman leader government says, guys, this government is in cahoots with criminals and we don't know what to do as the police were stuck. Is there going to be a commission of inquiry? Is there going to be a free press that presses for answers? Is there going to be a discussion freely on the radio between an analyst and a team that are hundreds of kilometers apart? And that becomes the question. But here's the other interesting part, right? In South Africa, and here's the criticism to all of us, a democracy by nature is an input-based system. So as a citizen, you get what you give to the system, right? Mm-hmm. None of the citizens have discussed anything further than what we've gotten from the leaders now. For instance, municipalities and even the parliament in other countries have a direct representational system. So why isn't it that the citizen of Mankweng can't directly elect the person to go and represent their interest in parliament with their own vote? Because now the ANC chooses for you, or whoever it is that won your ward, then says, oh, yeah, this is the representative we have in the PR system. By the way, that person doesn't even have to be from Mangwe. They could choose somebody from the Free State to go and represent you and your interests there. And so that's the issue, that our constituencies are not even directly represented. None of us have proposed that. Our municipalities work best when they are separated from the national system. And so all of those are questions that we haven't even started to ask, yet we are looking for somebody to come and be our great overlord.
Hmm. You know, according to this study, people are saying that they would be more open to military rule. And, you know, we're wondering if this would work in reality. If we were to look at countries where they got to a point where, you know, they were under military rule, whether it was forced or there was a coup or whichever way that it happened, they found themselves under military rule. Do you think as a country would come to a point where we'd be able to survive? And I don't know if we are interchanging and just using these words, the military rule, authoritarian state. And if we were to look at where we come from under an apartheid regime, are these different? And when people are, you know, disgruntled, what are they actually calling for?
Right. So there has been a rise in the popularity of military rule, right? Especially in the ECOWAS countries. So the likes of Burkina Faso and all of those. I think there are three now that have gone through a coup, and each the military has seized power, right? And here's the problem. All three of those military leaders, when seizing power, said something very poignant. All three said, within the next year and a half, we'll hold elections. Within 3 years. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There is no opposition, because if you then oppose them, you are opposing progress, because the great Traore loves all of us. Right? And so that opposition then is not opposition to the state of the country, it's an opposition to the great leader and the army, who is now the ruler of the country. What do armies do? Because remember, there's a significant difference between, I'd rather live in a police state, because at least apartheid was a police state. It wasn't a hyper-militarized state, like a state ruled by an army,
mm-hmm.
right? A police state, the police still has some kind of rules about them, right? Those rules, even though they can break them, those rules still apply to them anyway. You can still go to a court. You can still go and cry and complain and do whatever. At least it has the illusion of a system that tries to work for you. The military system, by the way, they don't even have to stick by the rules. That's why a Ibrahim Traore can walk into parliament, look at the representatives of people, because that's what those people are, even if they're in the opposition. He looks them in the face and says, everyone in this parliament is going to have half a salary. So what if he wakes up now? So it's always nice when he does it to a politician. Nobody really likes politicians, right?
Yeah, sure.
What if he wakes up and he says, oh yeah, all the nurses, teachers, and radio DJs, you are half a salary. Actually, the radio DJs, Luna, you're actually a quarter of the salary. What do we do then? So the problem is that there is no recourse for the system that people are demanding.
Mm.
But it's great to have those systems, because those systems are on the shoulders of one person. So we can then say, no, but complexion is the one who made this decision. That's why South Africa is on the skids now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problems that South Africa faces today are complex. Even if we say we have incompetent leadership, and then we have manipulation of the rand, not just by our own banks, but 50 international banks, which, by the way, are not even in our jurisdiction. They just manipulated how the rand is supposed to be traded, and that's costing us billions of rand.
Yeah.
So you see,
those
are complex problems that really don't have solutions for the one-man leader who's just Ibrahim Traore saying, oh, yeah, you invested our banks. We are taking the mines back.
Sure. You know, this is very interesting, but unfortunately we are out of time. Would have loved to actually engage even deeper, but you're going to park it here and leave it here. Thank you for coming through and talking to us. Appreciate your time always. Political analyst and lecturer, Leah Dobrika.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.